Mikey. It's time to listen to Future Gems.
Huh?
Entertainment for the entire family produced right here in Kalamazoo.
Join us now for a voyage into another dimension. A journey into a realm as infinite and limitless as time itself. Our destination, the farthest reaches of the imagination. WMUK Special Projects presents Future Tense.
Zero Hour by Ray Bradbury.
It was a perfect summer day in the year 1985. The streets were lined with green, peaceful trees. Business people sat in their quiet offices, taping their voices or watching televisors. Rockets hovered like darning needles in the blue sky. There was the universal quiet conceit and easiness of a society accustomed to peace, quite certain that there would never be war or trouble again. There were no unhappy citizens, no disgruntled ones, and no traitors among them. The world was upon stable ground. Sunlight illumined the suburbs, and the town drowsed on the tide of warm, sunlit air. On the lawns, children played, catapulting this way and that across the green grass, shouting at each other, holding hands, flying in circles, climbing trees and laughing. And the households prepared for the arrival of evening.
Excuse me, Mom.
Good heavens, Mink. What's all the excitement?
We're playing a game, Mommy. The best game ever.
What are you doing in that cabinet?
We need some tools from Daddy's cabinet.
Your father may not like it.
I'll take good care of them, Mom. I promise.
Very well. Don't lose anything.
Oh, thank you, Mom.
You want a glass of milk?
Can't stop now, Mom.
What's the name of the game, Mink?
Invasion.
Invasion? What will they think up next?
Now this, and this, and this, and this. Now put that there and bring that over here. Oh, no, you ninny. Now get back while I fix it. There, they want it this way, see?
Here, just let me fix it.
Hey, Mink. Oh, Mink.
Oh, it's that smarty pants, Joseph Connors. Don't let him play. He's 12 years old.
Don't worry. I won't. What you playing, Mink?
None of your business, smarty pants.
I want to play.
Can't.
Why not?
You're too old.
Just because you're only 8.
You'd only laugh at us and spoil the invasion.
Make him go away, Mink.
Go away. This is my backyard.
Oh, who wants to play with your silly little make-believe people anyway?
They aren't make-believe.
Oh, forget you. I don't want to play.
Good riddance. I'm glad you didn't let him play, Mink.
He'd only laugh. We'd better talk to Drill and get some more instructions. All right, here's your pad and pencil.
Where's Drill? Drill? Here, Drill.
He went into the rose bush, I think. I'll talk to him myself and you write it down on the pad.
Okay.
Drill? Drill? Okay. Drew wants you to write down triangle.
What's a triangle?
Never mind. Drew will tell us when he wants us to know. It helps the invasion.
How do you spell it?
Well, I'll ask Drew. Drew, how do you spell...
Mom, here's your mother looking out the window.
Mink!
Yes, Mother?
Who are you talking to?
The rosebush, Mom. Only it's not really a rosebush. That's Drill.
Who's Drill?
He's planning the invasion.
Oh, I see. Well, you'd better get in and clean up for supper. Your father will be home soon.
Just a second, Mom. You got that, Art?
Let's see now. 4, 9, 7, and 8. And B and X and a hexagon.
Hexagonal, dopey.
Oh!
Come on, Mink. Supper's in 10 minutes.
Okay, Mom. Just a minute. I have to tell Drill. I wish we didn't have to eat, though. It It holds up the invasion.
Ming, for heaven's sake, slow down. You'll choke on that food.
I can't, Mom. It's a matter of life and death.
What's a matter of life and death?
The invasion.
What invasion is that?
Oh, it's some silly game the children have been playing.
Well, whatever it is, Mink, it'll wait until you finish your supper, I'm sure.
I don't want any more.
Well, you barely touched anything.
Oh, but Drill's waiting for me, Daddy.
Drill? Now, who's Drill?
He lives in a rose bush in the backyard. Imagination, Henry.
Oh, it's nonsense.
I've got to run now.
Now, you'll sit through dessert, young lady.
Oh, gee, Daddy.
And while you're at it, tell me more about this new game.
It's the Martians invading Earth, Daddy.
What?
They're not exactly Martians, Daddy. They're from... Gee, I don't know.
No, they're from inside that little head of yours.
You're laughing at me. Drill said you would. You'll kill Drill and everybody.
Oh, I didn't know you could kill a Martian.
But he's not really a Martian, Mom. Maybe he's from Jupiter or Venus, even.
Imagine.
He couldn't figure out the way to attack the Earth. We're impregnable.
Oh, impregnable, dear.
Well, that's the word Drill said. We're helping him.
Who's helping whom?
The kids are helping the Martians.
Oh, the fifth column, eh?
Drill says in order to make a good fight, you've got to have a new way of surprising the people. That way you win. And he says you've got to have help from your enemies.
Oh, pretty slick, those Martians. Using the kids for a fifth column, Mary.
And hiding under rose bushes, too. Don't forget that, Henry.
That's because grown-ups never look under rose bushes. Only kids.
Oh, I see. Well, finish your food, darling. You can play for an hour afterwards.
Now, Mary.
Oh, it's so nice out, Henry. There's no school tomorrow.
Very well. Till 8 o'clock only.
Drill says after the invasion, we can stay up as late as we want. No more baths, neither.
Oh, is
and
that
we
so?
Can watch all the grown-up television shows.
I don't wonder that this invasion has caught on among the kids.
Some of the kids are giving us trouble, like Dale Briggs and Petey Kick. They're grown-up, so they won't believe in the invasion. They make fun, worse than parents even. I hate them worst. We'll kill them first.
I hope you're saving your father and me for last.
Well, Drill says you're dangerous.
What?
But I think they'll let me keep you because I'm helping so much. I'll talk to Drill. Maybe we won't have to kill you.
Now, Mary, I think this nonsense has gone far enough.
Can I go out now, please?
Run along now, dear.
Don't worry, Dad. I won't let them hurt you.
Now, Mary, I think the child is taking this game entirely too seriously. Invasion,
now, Henry, you know how Mink is. Besides, all children have their aggressions. It's better to let them get it out in the open, I suppose.
Well, maybe you're right. Yeah, I was wondering about bridge with the Jacksons tonight, Mary.
All right. You look tired, dear. Why don't you just sit and relax for a while? I'll sew for a while until it's time to... Oh, I wanted to call my sister Helen.
Oh, good. And find out when her husband is going to return my golf clubs.
Televisor.
Would you please connect me with Mrs. Helen Rogerson on Channel 7, 2D, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania?
What is your channel, please?
817X, Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Thank you. Just a moment. Go ahead. You can see your party now. Hello, Mary. How are things in Kalamazoo?
Fine, Helen. How are things in Pittsburgh? You look tired.
Oh, I've been having a terrible time with the children.
Sick?
No, just underfoot. They've got a new game that's got me just about crazy. It's called Invasion.
Did you say Invasion?
That's right.
Well, isn't that strange? My Mink is playing it, too.
My boy Tim is all involved in some imaginary fellow named Drill who's running the invasion.
It must be a new password. Mink likes him, too.
How do you suppose these games start? My backyard looks like a scrap drive. They've got every conceivable kind of mechanical gadget arranged out there. I talked to Josephine Schuller in Boston, and she said her kids are wild about it, too. It's sweeping the country.
Remember when it was hula hoops?
Please, dear, I'm not that old.
Mommy!
Please, Mink, I'm on the televisor. Come see your Aunt Helen.
Hello, Mink.
Hi, Aunt Helen. Look what I've
got.
And what is it, honey?
It's a yo-yo. Look, when I unroll it, see?
Helen, look. It vanished. Where did it go?
Into another...
She means dimension. Aren't they the darndest things? My Timmy brought one home, too. I can't figure out how they work. Make it reappear, honey.
There. It's easy.
Where did you get it, dear?
Drill gave it to me, Mom.
Mink?
Bye, Aunt Helen. Gotta run now.
Mink, you come back here. I want to talk to you.
Can't, Mom. 0 hours at 7 o'clock.
Mink!
Bye!
Oh, I can't understand it. The child's never been so unruly. Helen, do you suppose that...
What?
Nothing. It's a wild thought, but... Say, the reason I called... I want to get that black and white cake recipe, and Henry wants his golf clubs. I don't know what he'll do.
What was that?
I don't know. One of the children must have been hurt. I'll have to run and see. Call me back tonight, will you?
All right, Mary, bye.
Mink, come here.
Yes, Mom?
What is it? Who screamed?
Peggy Ann.
All right. What happened?
Well, she got scared and went home.
Did you hit her?
No, she just got scared. She's a scare baby anyway.
We won't let her play anymore. She's getting too old.
Now, Mink, you tell me why she cried.
No, I can't.
Mink, you answer me this instant or come inside. I've had enough of this nonsense.
Gee, I can't quit now, Mom. It's almost 0 hours.
Then tell me what frightened Peggy Ann.
Okay, she saw Drill.
Drill?
He almost came through. He was just testing.
Through what?
Through those pipes and things he set up. She looked into one of the pipes and screamed. I guess she saw Drill.
And no one hit her?
No, Mom.
Very well, Mink. I'll call Peggy Ann's mother and see how she is. And I'll call you for your bath in half an hour. Your father and I want to go out tonight.
You won't be able to go out tonight, Mom.
Why not?
0 hours at 7 o'clock, Mom.
Are you ready, dear?
Oh, just about.
I thought I'd relax a little before we went to the Jacksons. Now, where's the little one?
Out and back.
Same game?
Same game. They've got a stack of pipes and hammers and spoons a mile high out there.
Oh, children. Why do we have them?
Oh, strange little creatures, aren't they? Even Mink, Henry. She's a part of us, and yet, well, what do we really know about how she thinks?
I didn't mean to start a philosophic discussion.
Kids are such a queer mixture of love and hate, though. Even normal, healthy kids. They need you, they're dependent on you, and yet they resent that dependence.
Hey, you sound like a child psychology course I once took.
I wonder if they ever really forgive the whippings and commands we have to give them sometimes. I wonder if we ever forgot them when we were children.
Now, look, I'd like to discuss this with you, dear, but we do have to go out. It's almost 7 o'clock now. What's happened to the kids? They're so quiet. When children are quiet, you know there's some mischief. Now, what's that sound? Now, those kids aren't playing with anything electrical, are they?
I'm sure they aren't.
Well, just the same, I better go out and see.
Henry, tell them to put off the invasion.
Now, Mary, don't get upset. It's just a game. Good Lord, what's that? Look out the window, Mary.
Henry!
Well, what is it? Where are the children? Mary? Mary, why are you shaking? Oh, what did you see?
Henry, quick. Up to the attic.
They aren't in the attic.
Yes, attic, quick.
Mary, come back here. Mary. Mary, don't go up. They aren't there. Mary, are you out of your mind? There's no one up here.
Quick, shut the door. Lock it. Lock it.
But there's nothing up here. What is wrong with you? Now, Mary, come to your senses.
Oh, Henry, we've got to save our lives.
What are you talking about?
I saw it through the window, Henry. It was horrible.
What?
It is an invasion.
Oh, for heaven's sake, now, let's get down out of this attic and talk this over sensibly. I want to find out if Mink is all right.
Oh, she's all right. I saw her. She was leading them around the corner of the house.
Leading who? The kids?
Listen. Shh.
Well, it's nothing.
They're coming.
Good Lord. Those kids sound like 50 men with boots. I don't understand. Who's there? Who's there? I demand that you answer me.
Coming. Oh, how shaky.
Who's there?
Be quiet. Be quiet. I go away. Henry. Henry.
Mom. Dad. Are you in the attic?
Henry. She led them.
It's Mink. Mink. We've got to save her.
Henry, you don't understand. She's leading them.
What?
She's leading them. She's on their side. Oh, please, God, forgive
us. The children? On their side?
She told us, but we wouldn't believe her. Henry, they're coming now.
Mom! Dad! We know you're in there. I guess you had better melt the locks, Drill.
Henry, the lock melted. The door. Oh, dear God.
Mom, Dad? Oh, I see you now. Peek-a-boo.
WMUK Special Projects has presented Zero Hour by Ray Bradbury. Cullen Bailey was featured as Mink, with Mark Spink and Peg Small as her unsuspecting parents. And others in our cast were Fran Harding, Pat Michael, Kate Bailey, and Stephen Grant. Our narrator was John Phillips. Future Tense is produced and directed by L.A. Siegel. Next, on Future Tense.
Let me talk to Commissioner Patrick, please. Sid Ryan.
Hello?
Commissioner! Sid Ryan.
Oh, it's you. Well, what is it this time? If you want to drop a man off the ISB building into a teacup full of water, the answer is no.
I want a permit for a parade, June 1st, down Michigan Avenue. It's a Sunday, so there's no traffic.
Now look, Ryan.
Everybody else gets a permit. Don't give me a hard time, Patrick. This is too big.
Come on now.
I have the Downtown Kalamazoo Association behind me.
Okay, Ryan. Fill out the forms. I'll pass them on to the license commissioner.
That's my boy.
By the way, what's the occasion?
Don't you read the papers, Patrick? June 1st is Martian Day.
If you are enjoying these Future Tense programs and would like to hear more drama on WMUK, please let us know. Address your comments as well as suggestions for future programs to Future Tense, WMUK, Western Michigan University, Kalamazoo, Michigan. The zip code is 49001. This is Gerard McLeod inviting you and your entire family to join us every Monday through Thursday at this same time for Future Tense. Be sure to listen.
WMUK, Kalamazoo.
Pinball. Lights and bells. An assault on the senses. To many, it's a game. Something to pass the time. But to others, it presents a challenge which few other games can. It takes you into a world of its own, and for a short span in time, it controls your emotions. The silver ball shoots across the table, and your adrenaline rises as the bells ring and the digit counters add up. The ball goes down the chute, and anger surges. You finally get enough points to win a game, and you feel the pride that comes from beating a worthy opponent.
It's like recreation, you know, it's like anything else that you do for recreation. It's a sport, too. I consider it a sport anyway. And, you know, it's something you can practice at, and you know, you can be good at it. There's definitely, you know, a skill involved.
But what makes pinball the game it is today? 5 years ago, one could only find pinball games in bars and bus stops. Now one can even find the latest tables in Hugh Hefner's games room. People's tastes change, and with it comes a desire for a new form of entertainment. Pinball provides that entertainment. One can play by himself or with a friend, but no game is ever the same. Obviously, it is one of the most expensive games available. It looks complicated to the layman and is complicated, both mechanically and electrically. The silver ball which travels around the table provides a mechanical impulse which triggers an electrical impulse. The average machine may have anywhere from 800 to 1,500 contact points, any one of which can go wrong. The machines themselves can cost in the area of $700 to $1,000, depending on the number of players, manufacturer, and style. Larry Cohen, Michigan's foremost pinball authority, explains.
Well, there are basically four manufacturers of pinball machines. They are all located in the metropolitan Chicago area. There are Gottlieb, Bally, Chicago Coin, and Williams Electronics. I would say that Gottlieb is a proven winner over the long haul, followed closely by an up-and-coming Bally. Bally, by the way, makes all the or most of the slot machines that you find in Las Vegas and wherever else, probably around the world where it's legal.
Unfortunately, pinball has received a bad name over the years, mainly from people who do not play and consider it a form of gambling. Undue and harsh restrictions such as taxes, limits on the amount of replays, as well as invoking a minimum age limit, have been placed on the machines, with the ultimate purpose being to limit pinball within the city. And so because of this, pinball has been forced to make a quiet return to respectability. A substantial amount of pinball's popularity must be attributed to The Who, an English rock and roll group. With the advent of their album Tommy, many of the younger generation became inspired to master the feats of this pinball wizard. Many small stores were then converted into arcades where the art of pinball could be practiced. These establishments usually provide soft lights and loud music, which the players feel is more conducive for good pinball playing.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That chef don't like it, sure plays a mean pinball.
Because he travels across Michigan, pinball authority Larry Cohen has found it to be a great escape from the other side of the state.
This is an escape into just a world of fantasy, good times, and of course it brings back a youth of 10 years past when, you know, I experienced a lot of this without the pinball machine.
In an effort to include others into this world of fantasy, Larry periodically offers a free hour of pinball and holds yearly pinball tournaments. The pinball machine itself is just a set of bumpers and slippers. It is the job of the pinball mechanic to set the machine up so that it is playable.
There are numerous ways in which the machine can be made playable. Front and back levelers to make the drop that much faster on it, so that the ball comes down from the top that much quicker. New rubber bands on the side, good kickers on the side, rubber bands on the side, rubbers to make the ball be slingshotted.